appreciate the blessings of the Lord, His visitation in this meeting. It's our desire that the Lord would bless His Word and that it would not be as the words of man, but that as Paul prayed, that it might speak as the oracles of God. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. Truly appreciate your prayers this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Read throughout the book of Proverbs, words of wisdom that are still applicable to our day, to our time, that are very needful unto us. The third chapter here, it says in chapter 3 of Proverbs, the 13th verse, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Wisdom. You know, part of wisdom is to be able to learn by word and by observation. By the things that we see and by the things that we hear, that we learn from it. The wise man said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding, and I received instruction from that." There are a lot of people in life that go through life never receiving instructions from the things that they see around them, from the things that they read in the Word of God. The wise man didn't have to go experience for himself what it was to be slothful. He was able to observe the signs of those around him, to be able to look at a thing and observe the result of it, and to realize, I can gain understanding from that. The things that we have in the Word of God, the book of Romans says, these things were written aforetime for our learning. And it includes failures, and it includes successes, triumphs, and defeats. And those things were written for our learning today. Lord, help us to be able to gain instruction, to gain wisdom, more than just knowledge and information. But Lord, I need to know how to apply it into my life, in the decisions that I face in life. I believe every one of us are, in great need of wisdom. There's so much said in the book of Proverbs about wisdom and the importance of it. The cry of a father's heart unto his son. My son, you're about to embark on your own journey through life. Some of you are at such a place in life today. Important decisions lie ahead of you. Places in life that you've never been before. Don't go through those places of life on your own. We read in this same chapter, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and He shall direct thy paths." The Lord is the giver of wisdom. We read, jumping ahead a little, but we read that if you lack wisdom, you know where to go? You ever find yourself in a place, "Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need understanding here. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know the proper next step." The Lord is able, willing, and desires to give to all men liberally. And He upbraids not. He knows our dependence and desperate need of wisdom from Him. The wise man also said, the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass right on by and they're punished. To foresee is to see something in advance of when it happens. The Lord doesn't give us the natural ability to foretell things of the future or know what tomorrow holds. But you know, by application of wisdom that comes from God, we're able to look at things that are happening around us and gain understanding by them. To be able to look at a pattern of behavior or decisions and to be able to extrapolate that and say, I know where that leads. Think about the place in the 7th chapter where it says, I beheld out of my casement, out of the window, and I saw a simple man, void of understanding. He was one of these simple men who didn't see the warning signs, who didn't read the warnings that were about him, who just went on about his own desires and passions as this world urges us to do. And it says he went by her corner. Not a whole lot more needs to be said if wisdom abides within. But it says that he noticed and he watched this young, simple man passing on as an ox led to the slaughter. You ever find yourself in a place like that, looking on the decisions of others, your heart just tearing within you? Don't go down that path. I know where that leads you to. I know the end of this path. I know what this results in. You know, if we will, we can hear the voice of wisdom. The voice of wisdom that we read cries out in the public places, in the chief concourses, and on the street, if you will, cries out and offers her voice and her advice. And yet so often is brushed aside heedlessly. Well, I remember as a young man, felt like I had all the answers that I needed many times. And I look at the great mercy the Lord had upon me at times like that when I look back and say, there were really so few answers I had. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The wise man said. Remember Solomon's prayer. Whenever he was offered the opportunity, whatever his heart would desire, worldly wisdom would say, ask big. This is your opportunity. Whatever you set your heart on, to ask of it for it. And Solomon's heart was, Lord, give thy servant wisdom, that I might know how to lead so great a people as thine. I'll tell on myself for a moment. I remember as a child hearing that story, being amazed by the result of his prayer, and deciding it would be wise for me to go to prayer and ask for wisdom, looking at what it got Solomon. And I'm afraid I didn't get much of either at that time. But Solomon's prayer and desire, he recognized a need for wisdom. You know, wisdom is not something that comes automatically. Elihu came and he met with Job. You read about it in the 32nd chapter of Job. As Job's comforters were there to try to impart words of wisdom and comfort to him, Elihu, a younger man, sat there and he listened to the words that they spoke. And he said, verse 7 of the 32nd chapter of Job, I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty will give us understanding of our path in life. We can go through life and become aged men and women and still not obtain the wisdom that the Lord wants to impart to us in life. We can go through the school, as we heard, the school of hard knocks, and come out the other side of it, nothing but more obstinate than what I went into it. The question is, how will I receive the voice of wisdom? Will I receive instruction from the things that the Lord sends my way? I can lash out at others around me and at circumstances around me where the Lord is sending really an instructor to me to learn wisdom from the things that I go through. Well, I'd like to consider now that word, the merchandise. The merchandise of wisdom is valuable. That word merchandise means to gain by trade. If you've ever traded or bartered something, you give something to someone in trade or in exchange for something that you receive from them. They have something that you'd like or you think you need, and vice versa, and so you have an exchange of something. Most often it's a purchase, which is, in a sense, an exchange. I look at an item or a service, and I determine the value that it holds to me, and I trade that. I trade that money for that service or that item. You know, the Lord wants for us to be engaged in trade, to gain by trading throughout our lives, the merchandise of wisdom. The fourth chapter of Proverbs. The seventh verse says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. There's a lot in life to get. There's a lot in life to find. Many times, especially when we're in the younger part of our lives, the world is our oyster. There's so much to discover and to obtain and to accumulate. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. In all of your getting, in all of your planning, in all of your trading, whether it be the trade of your energy and your work for something else. People plan and they scheme, and the Scriptures teach for us to plan. To be wise and to be prudent. To go to the ant, thou sluggard. If you want to obtain something, there's wisdom to go about in obtaining it. Scripture says, and I might would hear a hearty amen if some of the young men here were brave enough to say it, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But in all of your getting, get wisdom. And in that and so many other decisions, we dare not enter into it without wisdom from God. I'd like to turn now to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 13th chapter. The 45th verse, again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This was a very common occupation, especially in these times, to be a merchant by trade, to barter and to swap and to trade, that you obtain one item and you go and you barter or you trade that for something else. And perhaps it's something that you obtain from another region or another area, and it's valuable to the people in this region. So I go and I trade what I have for what you have, and I might go and sell that in another region. Or I might obtain something and apply some effort unto it, some work to it, and increase the value of it. You buy an old fixer-up house. You put some sweat equity into it. You begin to do some repairs and some remodel. And then you go and you trade that in. And you can get a house of higher value than the one that you previously bought. You've invested in it. You've done some. You've gained by trading something of greater value. And he says this merchant man is like one whose aim and objective is to find goodly, valuable pearls. And so he goes on his quest looking for one that's more valuable than mine. Maybe I got to trade two somethings for this pearl. And then he finds one of great price. And he's willing to sell everything that he has to obtain that. Such is the case with wisdom. Not talking about, as James spoke, of the wisdom that is from beneath. The worldly wisdom that is sensual and devilish. But the wisdom that comes from above is available for every one of us. Wherever you are in your life today, you might be at the start with big monumental decisions ahead of you. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I need wisdom. The aged, no different. Lord, we all need wisdom. You ever seen foolish old people making foolish decisions? As Elihu said, aged men should be wise. But they're not necessarily. It doesn't just come with the passage of years. It comes by us intentionally engaging in a quest for, a searching for wisdom and understanding. The wise man opened the book of Proverbs. Well, maybe it's in the second chapter. It says, if you seek after her as silver, if you set your heart on obtaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding, she'll be found of you. We can obtain that wisdom. I'd like to look at Luke now, the 19th chapter. Luke 19 and 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. You know what that word occupy means? It's what we've been talking about. The word occupy means to busy oneself with the occupation of trade. And we see as he delivered to these servants his goods, these 10 pounds, time passed and different people engaged in different behavior or occupations. The 16th verse, well, the end of the 15th, it said that he called them to give an account that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. So I took what you gave me, and I put it in a napkin, and I set it aside. And I've still got it here. But he didn't say unto that one, well done. The ones to whom he said, well done, were the ones that had engaged in trade. The ones that had taken what they had received and they had put it into use and they had gained something in return for it. What does all this about trade have to do with us? Let's look at Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark 4 and 24, Jesus said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. When we think about wisdom in our lives, the Lord desires for us to have wisdom and to gain wisdom. You know what that's going to require of me? It's going to require me putting into use what the Lord has given me. You know, when the Lord calls you and you give your heart to the Lord, don't expect yourself to be like a brother or sister who's been saved 40 years and have the kind of testimonies that they have. Yes, the Lord will have victory. I'm not talking about an evolution into salvation. But I'm not going to be where they are after 40 years of walking with the Lord. That's okay. The Lord has called you where you are. But what the Lord also expects is that I'm going to take what the Lord has given me. The little bit of understanding that I do have. And that I'm going to go and put it into practice. You know what happens when we come to a meeting like this and we hear the Word of God? We might even say that was good. That resonated with me. I appreciated that. And then we go home and we do nothing with it. We're like a man that's put it in a napkin and put it away on a shelf and it's not working anything in my life. Take heed how you hear. Because to whosoever has, to him shall more be given. Whenever I hear the Word of God and it touches something in my life and I open myself up and say, Lord, search me. Lord, try me. Lord, apply this to the places of my life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with His Word. To each and every one of us, He knows the juncture of life that you're at. He knows what you and I have need of. And you know, He knows how to apply the things that we hear. He wants it to be more than just information and knowledge that we hear. But it has a practical application in every one of our lives. Lord, help me to know how to apply this into my life. And when I do that, I find that it increases into something more. And then I can take and put that into use. And it increases into something more. Wisdom. The same is the case with truth in general. With faith in God. We grow from line to line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. What are we doing with what the Lord has given us? Individually. And as the people of God. I'd like to turn to the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy those things, whatever the cost, whatever it requires in your life. You know what it takes to buy something? You got to look at something and place a higher value on that than on what you have. If there's something that costs $10 and I need it, I look at that thing and say, I need that more than I need this $10 bill. So I'll give you this if you'll give me that. How do we view truth? How do we view wisdom and knowledge and instruction? You know, the Lord wants to impart that unto us. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is on the auction block. It won't be changed. But the truth is on the auction block, and Satan also engages in trade. You know, the enemy has something to exchange you. The enemy has something to trade with you. For every truth, the enemy has a substitute. For every true doctrine of God, the enemy has a counterfeit. And what he does is, many times with flash and pizzazz, he tries to peddle his wares. Look at what I have. And tries to promise something more than what we have. Look how much better that would be. Look at the church down the road. Look at how many cars are in that parking lot when you drive by. Look how many ministries and outreaches that they have all over the community. Look at that. Isn't that better than what you got? What you have isn't better because you meet in a small place. Not necessarily. What you have isn't necessarily better because there are just a few. But what I want to urge us today is to not put truth on the auction block. Buy the truth. In our individual lives, insist on truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lord, I don't want to accept anything inferior to truth. I don't want to accept a half-truth. You know where the truth starts? It starts with the truth about who I am. And whenever I don't have a love of the truth about who I am, about my nature and my character and things that the Lord would try to point out to me, or whenever I don't have an appreciation and a love for the truths of God's Word, you know what we'll do? We'll do like Esau did, who lightly esteemed his birthright, and he sold it so cheap. He sold it for something that was so worthless in the grand scheme of things. A bowl of beans. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy has a bowl of beans that he wants to sell you. But he wants something from you. He wants you to let go of something for this bowl of beans. Buy the truth. Insist on it. Amen. And don't sell it. When it comes along bidding for it, don't sell it. I want to leave us with these few words. When we are engaged in the business of a merchant, in the merchandise of a thing, you ever made a poor trade? And you looked at that and said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Well, I'll repeat something that I heard at Brother Dan's funeral. I hope it'll be all right. It said that Brother Dan had a neighbor, Gillenbeck had a neighbor who came by and said, I've seen that trailer parked outside your house. And I need that trailer. Well, I need it too. No, you don't need that trailer. I got another one for you that I'll trade you. Smaller and older and... No, I'm not interested. But I need that trailer. No, I'm not interested in selling it. Now, what do you use that trailer for anyway? Well, I need to haul water with it. I got just the trailer for you. It's just the right size. It'll fit just what you need. But I need your trailer. Well, as the story was shared, Brother Dan's heart as a child of God was, he wanted to be able to show himself friendly and to be able to not cause any kind of rift in the community. This man was so adamant that he needed his trailer and he made the swap. But if you just look at the value of trailers, the aspect of character and working with someone else's side, he got the worst deal, the worst side of the bargain. What do we trade in life? We're always making decisions. What am I going to do? What decisions am I going to make? What path am I going to take in life? I want to counsel you to always trade up. You can trade for something of lesser value and end up with nothing in the end. But the work of a merchant is to always trade up. I want to make use of what I have, and I'm going to trade it for something of greater value. And then I'll take and I'll work with that thing and I'll trade that in for something of greater value. I'll tell you, I don't believe that we have a monopoly on truth, or that I do. I don't believe that. I'm thankful that the Church of God consists of every blood-washed child of God around the world. You know something that's important for us to realize and understand? Well, membership is not established by a creed or a membership book or a set of dictates given by man. Thank the Lord. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be able to have fellowship with God's children, to feel that spirit within them that you feel working within you? There's something that's important for us to understand and realize. That there are some who are coming to light, and there are some who are walking from light. And you may see somebody just by observation of your eyes that appears to be in the same place, but one's headed away and one's headed to. Be careful comparing yourselves among yourselves. And I say that on the heels of this comment, always trade up. I'm not, by the Lord's help, going to meet with somebody like that and say, you don't have anything. I've got it. I'm going to tell you what I'm also, by the help of the Lord, not going to do is trade down. There may be somebody that is sincere and loves the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. But what I want to do is I want us all to be able to trade up. And I'm not going to exchange something that maybe the Lord is bringing somebody to light and understanding. There is great value in truth and in light. You know, part of the danger in a prosperous time, believe the Lord warned the Israelites about it in Deuteronomy. Whenever you come to a land that has vineyards that you didn't plant, houses that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, then beware lest you forget the Lord your God. Whenever there is plenty and prosperity and abundance around us, if we're not careful, it can cause us to become complacent, settled, comfortable. That I'm thankful for what I've heard, and I can feel the Spirit of the Lord moving among us, and that's good enough for me. I want to counsel all of us, be engaged in the merchandise of truth and of wisdom. Don't be willing to just accept knowledge or information. Lord, I need to get a hold of this for myself. Lord, I need this down in my heart. It's okay to go check the Word against what I say or any minister that stands in this place. Do like the Bereans. Go and search the Scriptures to see if those things be so. Jesus, speaking to those who confided in themselves that they were righteous, said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have life. But those are the Scriptures that testify of me." I want to urge us, search the Scriptures. Search the Word of God. It's not enough for me to just hear it and say, well, it's good enough for me. I don't have any reason to contest it. There is one who will contest it. Do I have a hunger, a desire, an insistence? Lord, I want to know that what I'm building my life on is truth. Lord, I want to know that this is right. I go to the Word of God. I search the Scriptures out. I fear as a danger of prosperity. Yes, we're in a prosperous age. Spiritually, we have lived in a prosperous age. We are rich to have been taught the heritage of truth and holiness and righteousness. But there's a danger whenever I didn't dig the well myself. There's a danger whenever I didn't plant the vineyards myself. I got to get a hold of it for myself as well. I'm not talking about reinventing the wheel. I'm talking about hitting that same rock for myself. I'm talking about, Lord, I want to be able to explain to others. Lord, I want to know what this is about. I want to have something more on hand than is just, this is what our church teaches. I want to be able to go and hit the rock for myself. That's going to take some training in my life. Always with a purpose and the desire, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want to be able to grow in the things of God. That you'll hear all over debates and questions and, well, what about this belief? And what about this doctrine? And where is this line over here? And I'm going to tell you for myself, I want to always trade up. Because what the enemy wants to do is try to blur the distinctions in my mind with this logic. What's the difference? It's so close. It looks so similar. It sounds so similar. I remember a time that Dad had a motorhome that he was wanting to sell. Met a man who said that he wanted it. I went with him, and I don't remember the figures. But I remember he stepped out, and he met and looked it over, and said, well, and I'll make up the number because I don't remember. Something like $8,000 he was asking for it, and he said, well, I'm sorry, all I have is $7,000. That's all I brought. Well, the problem is I'm not selling it for $7,000. I'm selling it for $8,000. Well, somehow the man dug around and happened to find a little more money in his pocket and said, well, okay, I'll tell you what, $7,500 then I'll give you for it. That's all I have. Well, I'm not selling it for $7,500. I'm selling it for $8,000. And he kept bartering and trying to negotiate with him and saying, are you really going to let a few hundred dollars get in the way of this sale? I got it right here. Are you really going to let $500? I mean, it's as good as gone. It's so close. Are you really going to let that little bit of difference stop you? It's one thing when you're selling a motorhome. It's one thing when you're talking about $500 in the bank. It's a whole other thing when I'm talking about the truth that affects my soul. And when the enemy comes along and he offers something that looks so close, it resembles it. It looks so similar. It sounds so similar. Oh, the Scriptures teach us to prove all things by the Word of God. I'm going to go test that thing, and I'm not going to trade down. I don't care if it's $100, if it's $10, I'm not going to trade down. And so when it comes to debates and questions about just where is the line and where should the standard be, you know where the enemy tends to always take that is trading down. Well, you know, you'll do this, but you won't do that. And it's almost always he wants to point it to, well, just quit this higher plane that you're trying to hold to, because it's so similar to this. Let go of this and accept this lower, almost pretty similar standard. You know what happens from there? Well, look, this level is, come on, $50. This level is just a little bit lower. That sleeve length is a little bit higher. That skirt length is a little bit, come on, it's so insignificant here. This is a place that every one of us have to get with the Lord. That, Lord, I want to be a merchant of truth and of wisdom. Lord, I want to know wise counsel in my life and in my standards that I hold personally and collectively as a people. Be careful about trading down. Be careful about letting the enemy engage and barter with your mind and say, well, what's the difference between this and this and then this and this and then this and this? And before I know it, it's all gone. What's important is we have the essence of these things. It's not about a list of rules and dictates and standards. I need what we heard about yesterday in regards to trusting the Lord. I need a relationship with the Lord. I need to have a connection with Him. And when we lose the essence of what it is that we teach, you know what's left? A shell. And it might be there's enough association that I have, we'll say, with the saints and with brethren and sisters that I've respected in the Lord, enough to kind of keep some bounds in my life. But I'll tell you, your children won't have that. Your children aren't going to know who brother and sister so-and-so that you had respect for. You see, that's not enough. It's not enough to just hold on to a form or a resemblance. People will look at that and the next generation and the children of that generation will look at that thing and say, that sounds hollow. It doesn't sound like there's anything to that you're doing here. The most virtuous thing we could do is be real. And let's tear this thing down. Let's get to being real here. Oh Lord, help us to be able to not trade down. To have the essence, the value of the thing that I can pass down to my children. But children, let me tell you what the Lord has taught me. Let me tell you about the place that the Lord has brought me to. The song says, I hear the sound of saints on higher ground. I'll tell you, I'll come to a place like this and I find myself challenged by the Word of God. Challenged by some of your testimonies, and I might say, Lord, I'm not there yet, but Lord, I want to get there. And Lord, I want to engage in the trade in my life, the trade of consecration, the trade of surrender to your will, the trade of humbling myself. Lord, I want to engage in that same trade that they engaged in that got them to this place. Because I hear something on a higher plane. And if I see something, this is wisdom. To be able to look at a thing and see the end of that. If I see something, wisdom is justified of her children, I believe Jesus said. Look at the children of the thing, or the proof is in the pudding, pick your saying. Look at the end of that thing. If the end of it is what the psalmist said, the Lord gave them their request, but He sent leanness unto their soul. Then I have to look at that and say, is that trade worth it? Am I willing to accept leanness in my soul for what I'm going to give here? Am I going to trade up or am I going to trade down? Jesus said, walk in the light while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you. There's a responsibility that comes with what the Lord gives us. There's a responsibility that comes with truth and with understanding of truth. Think about where Paul said, unto the Jews was committed the oracles of God. What did they do with it? They lost the very essence of it. And the time came that their Messiah, spoken of in their scriptures, they didn't even recognize what was before them. Unto us today. That's all I have to talk to. What has the Lord committed unto us? What's been committed to you and to us as a people? Where are we? The enemy who is bargaining high, who has truth on the auction block. What are we doing with it? Are we seeking the Lord with a fervor of spirit to say, Lord, I want to put into practice in my life. Lord, I want this thing to be a reality to me. Lord, what I've heard about being baptized with the Spirit, I want this thing to be a reality to me and in my life. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of substitutes. Just on that line alone, there's a lot of substitutes for what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. What are we going to do with it? By putting it into practice in our lives, the Lord will give us more and more. And by that merchandise of wisdom and of truth, the Lord wants to bring every one of us into a rich and a wealthy place. Pray for me. Amen.